Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for 9/12. That's September 12th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we believe the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, is the rule of law and ought to be followed. The checks and balances put in place by the founders, brilliant. And the reason we focus on 9/12 is because, you know, Glenn Beck had an organization back in the day called 9/12. It fizzled, sadly. And the reason that it fizzled is because primarily, you know what, political movements don't last. Political movements oftentimes are a flash in the pan unless they get codified or backed into by government in some way. The answers to our problems are not political, ladies and gentlemen, they're moral. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. We had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org yesterday. We talked about Hurricane Irma weakened to a Category 1 storm. There was wind and lots of rain that shut down power to about 6 million Floridians. Sheriff warns against people shooting guns at Irma. One of the biggest evacuations ordered in history. About 6.3 million people ordered to evacuate in Florida alone. A woman named Irma gave birth to a boy named Harvey. J.J. Watt's Harvey Relief Fund reached $30 million and growing. Ron Paul column, government aid makes disasters much worse. We talked about the Utah GOP central meeting that took place on Saturday. They're not even obeying their own rules. That was our 1 hour, too. We talked about Troy Gentry of Montgomery Gentry killed in helicopter crash. What a tragic reality there. We talked about parents named baby born during the hurricane and the flooding named Noah Harvey. Kind of interesting. Lois Lerner walks free. So, you know, double standard even in Trump administration. Roger Stone will call on Trump to pardon Clive and Bundy. Pray he gets that done. Lois Lerner walks free and Clive's in jail. Something's wrong, folks. We also talked about this girl. Her name is Marissa Papen, I think is how you say it, from Belgium, gets naked on the Nile, gets in trouble, gets arrested. Just shows you the sign of the times, I guess. Welfare moment, we flashed back volunteers who gave comfort and friendship during Hurricane Katrina in 05 and how that's being repeated now. The mainstream press just isn't telling you about it. We talked about an update, a group called Helping Hands, that's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and another group called Convoy of Help, another religious organization, teaming up, working together in South Texas to make a difference in the private sector. Good on them. And that's a recap. We talked about a lot of good solutions, and we really talked about how where's the mainstream press with all the good news? I agree there's problems, but the good news about Hurricane Irma is that it's not near as bad as they said it was going to be. A lot of people lost power, a lot of trees down, a lot of branches, a lot of flooding in Miami. But you know what? They dodged a huge bullet in Florida. They were expecting it to really come ashore multiple times, multiple places. Hurricane Category 4 or 5. I mean, they expected this to be the mother of all storms. By the time it really hit big time, it was a Category 3, 2, 1 kind of thing. Now, I'm not saying that's not bad. There's a lot of torrential rain and stuff like that. There's a lot of water that comes along with this, but it's not near as bad as they thought. I talked to four or five or six people down there in Florida, and every one of them said, man, ooh, you know what? It was not a direct hit. This was a blessing and a half. Certainly trees are down. We're without power, but man, this is no big deal. And I'm so grateful for that. But the mainstream press just continued to tell you how horrible it was. They're even reporting now that the storm's not over. And I agree it's probably not over in terms of the long-haul cleanup and the flooding that will continue to happen, et cetera, et cetera. But let's focus on God's blessings and that we dodged a bullet. And let's use it as an opportunity to remember our author of liberty, God, and turn to his laws for safety and protection. If we do that, he promises us he will heal our land. Now, if we need one thing to be done when we're talking about Irma, Harvey, Jose, whatever, recovery, we really need God to heal our land, don't we? All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It is available on demand as we speak, libertyroundtable.com. Listen to your heart's content. Donate if you will. And news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
We got a negative landmark to highlight, and we're not celebrating. Under the Trump administration, we prayed it would never happen, but it just has, Kurt. National debt exceeds $20 trillion. You want to reply to that, Kurt? I had hoped under the Donald that would cut back enough that we would not raise the debt ceiling, that we would stand against the tide of ever-increasing debt, but now it's over $20 trillion. That does not count unfunded liabilities, et cetera, down the road. That's just the amount of money we owe. It's growing. It's not about to stop. And Donald has not only pushed and worked with the Democrats to get the debt ceiling lifted, but now they're talking about getting rid of the debt ceiling entirely, and we've now reached $20 trillion and growing by millions, millions, literally every day. Kurt?
Yeah, and what was it? Sheriff Mack was telling us about how he'd look out on the football field, and I thought he said that the football field full of pallets of money would equal a trillion. Is that what he said?
Yeah, that was just one football field, though, Kirk. Yeah, you gotta have,
I know. So then you'd have to have 20 football fields full of pallets of, I think it's $100 bills.
Yeah, who knows? It's so massive you can't even comprehend it. No matter what you do to try to get your arms around it, nothing makes any sense because it's so large you can't even fathom it.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, I don't even know what a football field of $100 bills relates to, much less 20 of them, right?
Yep.
And then you got to debate how high it's stacked, and I mean, it's just not even comprehensible. But that's what we've got, and what it really means, Kurt, is we can never, ever, ever, ever pay off that amount of money. Is what it really means.
Well, and it really, at least in my mind, it really means if we're going to make America great again, we examine what we used to do, what was done in the founders' times, what was done when America's money system, you know, we weren't in the debt we are, and, you know, take a look at that situation and say, hey, you know, we can do better than this.
Well, what you do is you just return to the gold and silver coinage of the Constitution, the way our founders envisioned that we would. I mean, that's almost the debt ceiling in and of itself, because there's only so much gold and silver, and it's not controlled by one source. In other words, there was never intended to be a monopoly on money, and the debt ceiling would be natural. In other words, it would be due to the gold and silver rarity, if you will, or the reality of getting it out of the ground and turning it into usable currency or coinage, if you will. It represented work. It represented a non-monopoly scenario. And so there's so many factors to returning to gold and silver currency. But whether we debate whether we should have a debt ceiling, or whether we debate that the debt ceiling should go away, it's all the wrong debate, because neither answer returns us to the Constitution. Neither answer returns us to honest weights and measures, Kurt. Period. Neither answer has any validity. It doesn't matter if they raise the debt ceiling or not. What difference will that make, Kurt? Now, I agree, raising it's better than raising it, but the fix is in, because eventually the interest will force the debt ceiling to raise, Kurt.
Yeah, and the when we're talking about solutions, you could certainly look at in our effort to move towards, you know, the honest system that was installed by our founders. You could move towards the system that JFK and Abraham Lincoln both embraced, at least a system where we actually printed our own money instead of had a, quasi government thing printing it.
And the value of doing that would be they would be United States notes. There would be no interest attached, and it would at least stop that. You know, so what you could do is you could not raise the debt ceiling. You could print United States notes, and even though it's not where we need to go yet, it would be a transitionary reality to stop the debt increase. First off, the interest train would stop. Secondly, the debt ceiling would stop, and you would be able to move us slowly but surely to the right track. In other words, you could let good money chase bad money out of the system over time. Kurt's exactly right on that reality. But they're not even talking about it, Kurt. All they're talking about is whether we're going to raise the debt ceiling or the hardliners are going to not raise the debt ceiling. But what they don't understand is as long as they allow the lie to stay there, in other words, as long as they accept that we're going to use dishonest money, neither one matters.
I think they really understand it.
Oh, you do?
Which is the problem.
Liberty Roundtable Live.
Dear Christine, I wanted to write and tell you some exciting news.
What, what are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm writing Christine a letter to tell her about Emily's first tooth.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's a mom thing.
I'll get her.
I don't have the words to thank you for having the courage to give us our most precious gift. We can only thank you by raising her the way you'd always hoped. How'd you get her to sleep so fast?
It's a dad thing. Honey, will you tell her thanks from me?
Of course I will.
Adoption. It's about love. A message from LDS Family Services.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Kurt. So they're raising the debt ceiling. They're debating getting rid of the debt ceiling entirely. And the national debt exceeds $20 trillion. Now, it gets worse. I hoped the Donald would turn it around, but it's a failed reality check. We need to move to honest money for the solutions, folks, and until we do, nothing will make much of a difference. Kurt even believes they know full well. Well, you're probably right. Some of them do for sure. Whether all of them do or not, I don't know. But now there's a big problem because Donald Trump's family's too big, Kurt. And he's got too many locations, too many houses, etc., and it's stretching the Secret Service to the limit. And now there's a bipartisan effort to raise the salary cap on the Secret Service. Do you want to respond to that, Kurt?
Well, you know, it just seems silly to continue with the whole salary cap things with any. I mean, I like that they're, you know, try to make us think that they're careful with our money. I mean, that's really kind of them, you know. But, you know, we need to take off the, you know, blinders. They're not worried about that, Sam. I mean, when you make money out of thin air and you don't have to pay off your debts, you know, then, hey, what really, why have a ceiling, you know? But on the other hand, if you really are serious about, honest money and returning to the Constitution, following the law, then let's really be serious. But other than that, hey, why don't we just make the minimum wage like $1,000 an hour, so everybody can just be rich, and we'll pay Congress $1 million a month.
Kurt?
What's that?
You want me to prove your point?
Sure.
All right. So not only does the national debt exceed $20 trillion, not only is there a bipartisan effort to get rid of the debt ceiling altogether, but now there's a bipartisan effort, as I just told you, to raise the salary cap on the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
But now it turns out the federal government is spending $138,000 to ask preschoolers about their gender identity. Jack Crow writes the piece. So you literally have $138,000. You could say, well, Sam, that's not much money. And my response is, we're talking about the principal. There's no end to what they'll spend on. You're literally having the government spend $138,000 for psychologists and psychiatrists and, in other words, these social worker professional do-gooders to literally ask preschoolers about their gender identity. So you bring, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, whatever. These are preschoolers, right? And you're going to ask them about their gender, Hi, Tina, haven't you thought about being a boy? You seem to be kind of tomboyish or like boy things. Are you a boy, Tina? Or, what are they doing here, Kurt? And this is what government's spending their money on. But Congress is so stuck on stupid, they're going to raise the debt ceiling. They're not even going to look into this. Now, you and I have talked some time about if Donald really wants to make America great again, he could put folks like Sam and Kurt in charge of some of these budgetary snafus going on. This is one that I would shut down, and I'd make such a big issue about it in the media that nobody would be able to talk about anything else until it was completely shut down. But you got Republicans backing Planned Parenthood. You got Republicans saying nothing about $138,000 going directly to ask preschoolers about their gender identity. But this is the stuff we see ripe all through government, Kurt. All over the place. Wow. All right, Democrats are now pushing back Republican efforts to get answers about the salacious Trump dossier. So, the Democrats pulled out this dossier saying Trump was guilty of all these things. Turns out there's no real origins of proof in terms of reality in the dossier. And now the Republicans are trying to get to the bottom of it, and the Democrats are pushing back not to get the truth on the dossier, Kurt. Do you see how we just spend our time in the most worthless of things?
Mm-hmm.
So now the Republicans are going to get to the bottom of the dossier. These are the guys that are spending $138,000 to ask preschoolers about their gender identity while they decide to raise the debt ceiling and give greater salary caps for the Secret Service for the Donald. And I don't even know what we're even focused on here. Hillary's blaming the media for her loss, Kurt. Do you agree with her?
Oh, boy. Do we have to talk about Hillary again?
Well, you have to, because all the news is a Twitter about it. And even the Twitter's a Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing about this that I find fascinating is I agree with Hillary, Kurt.
Yeah.
Hillary blames media for her loss. In other words, she's pointing out something that she doesn't really mean to point out, Kurt. She's ignorantly telling the truth for a change. What she's trying to say is I lost and it's the media's fault.
Yeah.
But what she's really saying is the truth. The media can make someone win or lose, Kurt. And she admits it right here. Hillary's telling you what I've been telling you for literally nigh on to a decade or more. Literally, the media can create winners and losers.
You get a good biscuit from a garbage can.
Yeah. I'm just smart enough to notice when there's a biscuit in the garbage can.
Yeah.
But I find this fascinating because she literally admits it. And I was telling you that the media helped Donald win. And everybody laughed at me and they went, no, come on, all the coverage for the Donald is negative. And my response is, no, the real negative coverage is to ignore him and not give him the coverage. How much coverage did they give Rand Paul when he was running for president?
Or
how much did they give Ron Paul when he was running for president? I could go on and on and on.
Good point.
None. It was takeout coverage, not just negative coverage. They gave literally Donald billions and billions and billions of dollars of coverage, and some of it was negative, but not too negative. The proof is in the pudding. He got elected. Now Hillary's blaming that same media that I'm saying Donald got elected because the media loved him and helped him get elected. She's blaming the same media for her loss. It's amazing. Even Sam and Hillary agree with the same fact. I find that fascinating. We agree for different reasons. By the way, Orrin Hatch has not decided if he's going to run again or not. But if he decides not to, looks like Mitt Romney is going to roll into running for the Senate seat in the state of Utah. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm all at Twitter. I'm just so excited. I can't believe the good news, Sam. I mean, a guy like, you know, Mitt Romney, the keeper of the Constitution, the protector of our freedoms.
Heck yeah.
Well, let's see.
What do you think, Kurt? I mean, aren't you right. super excited about this?
Well, I guess the one thing about it is when you compare him to Orrin Hatch.
Pretty good dude.
It's just hard to say. I mean, at least he hasn't done the things that Hatch has
Not
done
yet.
In the Senate. Of course, he hasn't been in there, but, you know.
Yeah, as governor, he has a pretty dismal record as well. Now, I think that Mitt Romney is quite liberal. I think that he's clueless on the Constitution. But one thing I will say for Mitt Romney is I do believe he's an honest person, and I do not believe that Orrin Hatch, Kurt. I just personally believe that Mitt's an honest person. I don't think he's... I think he wants the accolades of the world too much. So he goes after the wrong things. He caves because he doesn't understand his constitutional obligations and or responsibilities and rights, etc. But I think he's actually a good person. I really do. The problem is that, you know, we need good, honest, wise servants of the Republic. And I don't think he's very wise. I think he's an honest guy, though. Now, good's debatable. It depends on how you define good. Good in terms of carrying out his sworn oath in a constitutional manner? I don't think so. Good meaning he's a good, kind person with a good heart? I think he is. And I think he's honest. I think he means well. I just don't think he's very wise. He's just not savvy enough to understand that he's being played for a sucker by those he seeks for accolades from, kind of a thing. Anyway, we're on the eyeing Senate run in Utah, and Orrin Hatch still hasn't decided if it's his final term. What I hope doesn't happen is Hatch runs, gets elected, then later down the road when it's Lee's turn and Romney runs against Lee, that would be disastrous. Not that I think Lee's perfect, but he's better than the other two by far. But again, the bar's a pretty low bar, if you ask my humble opinion as well. All right, Laura Ingraham's in the news. Kurt, she's getting a Fox prime time slot. Sean Hannity's show will be moved an hour earlier to 9 p.m. so that Laura Ingraham can take the 10 p.m. slot at Fox. You excited about that?
Well, I'll be watching that just as much as I do watch Hannity and you know, whatever else Fox has on. I mean,
Kurt, you don't hang on Hannity's every word?
Well, I mean, I do hear him, you know, a couple of times a month when I'm traveling.
Because there's no other choice.
But, well, yeah. I mean, it's just the way it is.
All right. Hard-hitting news. The networks refuse to use straight ahead. Southern Poverty Law Center. Wow, these people are a piece of work. We'll tell you about it in a second. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable. Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Over the last couple of months, ISIS has suffered many military setbacks, both in Iraq and Syria, the loss of territory, the capture of its stronghold areas. Among the items captured in ISIS headquarters, laptop computers and cellular telephones containing a treasure trove of information. According to sources, that information includes the lists of previously unknown ISIS operatives around the world and potential information on possible targets. Much more info may be found in the coming days. Tourism experts around the world making some dire predictions for the tourist industry in the Caribbean Sea and Florida. The height of the season is during the upcoming winter months when millions of people from all over the world flock to those warmer climes and spend billions of dollars. But those billions likely will not be spent in places such as San Martin, St. Bartholomew, and the Virgin Islands this time around, sadly. Tourism in a huge area is going to take a big hit. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Who taught you skip stones?
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. I guess the Southern Poverty Law Center is back in the news, Kurt.
Well, that's exactly right, Sam. One of our favorite pals, in the news. And you, the word poverty just, at least to me, just doesn't work here. But anyway, in this case, the Southern Poverty Law Center, they're seeking an apology from Fox News, Sam. Now, the subheadline reads, report claimed group hides revenues overseas. That seems like we just did a story about that. The fact is, the report had some $60-plus million just out there somewhere, $320 million overall. Valerie Richardson's writing this piece from the Washington Times, and the story goes, whenever the Southern Poverty Law Center is cited in the media of late, demands for retractions and apologies often follow. This time, she says, however, it's the Liberal Legal Center itself, not one of the conservative groups targeted on its hate map, issuing the demand. They're calling on Fox News to deliver an on-air correction for defamatory statements made during a broadcast last week of The Five. I think The Five must be one program on Fox News. They say the SPLC is currently facing a coordinated attack by far-right extremist groups we've named as hate groups because they vilify the LGBT community, immigrants, and Muslims. That's what an SPLC statement said this last week. Their latest megaphone is none other than Fox News. Then they go through and tell you the details of it, but the bottom line is the SPLC will use this to, fundraise like crazy, Sam, at least if you ask me. And the big...
But what are the details, though? Apologize for what, Kurt? For telling the truth? For, like, the real news, not the fake news? What's the apology about, my friend?
Let's see. All right. So here's the details, at least according to the story. And, you know, I mean, who knows for sure how this whole thing works, but they say the center pointed to Fox host Greg Gutfeld, who said during the program that the SPLC spent $61,000 on legal services in 2015 and concluded that it does virtually no law. The next sentence says, they're a hard left outfit that loves to label people as extremist. That's what Mr. Gutfeld said on the show, adding that this poverty group sits on a pile of offshore dough. Now, do you disagree with any of that, Sam?
Well, the only thing I don't know is about whether they've spent $61,000 on legal issues or not. I mean, I don't have the internal numbers, but as a general point, they love to attack people and paint everybody as extremist. They are sitting on a pile of cash overseas. Those are proven facts. This is not a debate.
All right. In their letter to Fox, the SPLC, the Poverty Boys, General Counsel James M. Nope. K-N-O-E-P-P. I don't know even for sure how to say that. But anyway, he called the statements, quote, inaccurate, defamatory, and irresponsible, end quote. Now, you know, I mean, those words exactly seem like how they could apply to what the Southern Poverty Law Center
said. Yeah, but if you take them on, they got a big old war chest. They'll spend much more than $61,000 to take you on, Kurt, or me, or anybody else that decides to tell the truth about them.
Then it goes on, it says, saying that the $61,000 was spent by the center, that's the Southern Poverty Law Center, on its own corporate legal services, not the amount it spent providing legal services to others.
And by the way, that might be factual, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right.
But that doesn't change the overarching reality check that this group does literally paint everyone as extremists without fact or reality. And they literally are sitting on a bunch of cash overseas. That's my point, is you got to be very careful. It's kind of like Satan. They'll take a grain of, you know, a lot of truth and a grain of error and mix it all together and make you believe the whole thing's an error, right?
Yeah, good point. Then it goes on, it says, he said tax forms show that the center actually spent $1.8 million on out-of-pocket case costs for litigation brought on behalf of its clients, and that the legal department also sunk $15 million into client initiatives. What I want to know is, the tax forms say that. I'd like to know how many times the SPLC, with all their poverty going on, has been audited by the IRS, Sam.
I'd also like to know, though, when you say $15 million, so they talk about this pittance of money, then they say $1.8 million for our clients or whatever, and then $15 million on what do they call that, Kurt?
They call it client initiatives.
Now, what on earth is a client initiative, Kurt? Attacking Sam Bushman for $1 million?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, what I mean is, what does that mean? And it's so vague. This is why all this government reporting is bogus in the first place. On our government forms, we wrote down client initiatives, $15 million. Wow, I wish I could get away with writing down just two words for all my expenditures.
Yeah, then Mr. Nope of the SPLC Poverty Boys said, when the SPLC makes an error, such as in the case of the listing of Ben Carson, it acknowledges it and apologizes.
Now, they do on some, when they're forced to, legally speaking, they've apologized to Richard Mack because they're going to get their socks sued off. They've done so in this case of Ben Carson, but they haven't apologized to me with their inaccurate lies, Kurt.
And they say, we expect Fox News to do the same and acknowledge on the air its errors. Anyway, bottom line is, you know, they do point out in this story that they have a $320 million endowment. That's how the Poverty Boys work, I would add. Anyway, there's your story.
Has Fox caved News already yet?
I don't know, Sam.
I'm sure they'll be caving soon if they haven't already. All right, so Laura Ingraham going to go ahead and take to Fox News. That ought to have, you know, Maybe she could take on the Southern Poverty Law Center, Kurt. You think she will?
Is she going to continue with her? Yeah, right. Is she going to continue with her radio program?
Doesn't say, but I imagine so. All these talk show hosts can. Because look, when you're that big of a star, and they put millions and millions and millions of production dollars behind you, all you got to do is show up, Kurt, and read the, I don't want to say turret cards, but yeah, and read the cards given to you almost. You don't really have a lot of, you know, prep work and say and what happens or goes down. And so you can do a lot of radio and a lot of TV when you're controlled by the minions.
Good point.
It's a different ballgame than Sam and Kurt preparing for a talk show. I'll tell you that right now.
Uh-huh.
All right. I guess this is phenomenal news. It's about the government schools, and this is just the best news we've heard all year long, Kurt.
Well, you know, nobody's really hoping for a good hurricane. You know what I mean? It's just not something on most people's wish list. But, you know, there's times when over our lifetime, you know, you do almost anything to shut down the government schools and give families more family time, let the private sector take over like it used to be in the Founding Fathers area. Well, the headline from the Miami Herald says, Miami-Dade Broward Public Schools, we would add government schools, closed indefinitely after Irma. Yep, they say they're going to remain closed until further notice. Wouldn't it be cool if they just said, yeah, we're just not going to open those suckers up again. Among the reasons, they say, is that the schools had to undergo safety inspections. I don't think they're safe, even when everybody else says they are. But anyway, they say they're going to almost certainly remain closed and may stay shuttered until Monday. I don't know which Monday that is. As the system unwinds shelter operations at dozens of schools, cleans up damage, and monitors the status of the county's largest single workforce, Carvalho, that's one of the big shots, he's a superintendent down there, Alberto Carvalho, said there were no reports of major structural damage at schools, but felled trees and other Irma damage left many inaccessible. While most evacuees have left, some schools converted to shelters are still housing people. One of them, they even tore the roof right off, Sam. Yeah. So anyway,
well, count your many blessings. Maybe those children can listen to Liberty Roundtable live in their downtime and get caught up. And instead of making America, quote, great again, we can make America constitutional and moral again. What do you think, folks? Liberty Roundtable live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, I think Kirk Crosby has been waiting for this for, what, almost a year now, I think? Yeah, man, it's coming out today, Kurt.
Yeah? What's that?
Kurt, you don't know what's coming out today? And how dare you not know the big, huge event? Buddy, you're supposed to be, like, camping out late at night.
Oh,
your sleeping bag, buddy.
iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Buddy, what's wrong with you?
I know.
I mean,
out the launch.
There's like things of importance and then things of importance, you know.
Yes.
Apple's trillion-dollar iPhone, writes one author, Kurt.
Well, and I was going to ask you about this whole thing because I'm sure you've analyzed this whole new iPhone deal. But Dan Gallagher writes this piece. And it says, besides Apple's trillion-dollar iPhone, the sub-headline says Apple's market value has surged in anticipation of a strong cycle, which makes further upside more challenging. I own the same amount of Apple stock now as I did when they first came out. And
you own more Apple stock than you think you do, my friend. How many Apple devices do you have?
Oh, good point. The market value of the world's most valuable company, they say, already has surged 35% this year to around $820 billion. That's right ahead of this expected introduction of the new iPhones. That means the stock needs to gain another 22% to, make it above the trillion-dollar mark. And heck, that's only 1/20th of America's national debt.
And that's why the author calls it the trillion-dollar iPhone, to kind of play off that reality or landmark of the stock. New, quote, speculative high is what I would say, Kurt, the moral hazard speculative high. See, all this stuff is just speculative. If you were to really put Apple to the test and sell the company or something like that, it wouldn't fetch near that kind of money.
They figure they're going to charge a higher price for the new phone, possibly around $1,000 or higher.
Yeah, some are saying that even up to $1,500, Kurt. Are you in?
I don't think so.
Kurt,
what's wrong with you? What's the new phone going to do, Sam?
Kurt, you don't need to worry about that. That's a surprise coming up with the keynote today, my friend.
All right.
You just need to be
in. What do you expect? You got anything up your sleeve?
Oh, well, they're going to release a new operating system.
Yeah.
And so they're going to give you a more powerful phone with more powerful specs. They're going to change your, some of the camera stuff, make it better, faster, smarter. They're going to, they got all these details. Every bit of this is speculative, though. You understand that, right? Everybody's just guessing. Right?
Yeah.
They're supposed to have three offerings. The new, they're calling it the 8 because we don't know what to call it yet, right?
Yeah.
So you got the latest 8, you got the 8 Plus. They're thinking about maybe rolling out like a 7S. They're talking about that. And it's all speculative, Kurt. I want to downgrade my iPhone.
What do you want to do to yours?
Well, right now I got a normal 7, and I want to, I want the SE technology because it's a smaller form factor. I don't know if that'll be an option or not. Now, some are speculating as well that these new iPhones, especially the high-end of the high-end ones, the $1,500 ones, they're calling it kind of the gold standard in iPhone or whatever. Some are saying they're going to be very hard to get a hold of for a while, too, because they just can't make enough of them, Kurt. There's new technology relating to the display and some of the things that are just hard to get a hold of. They're not going to be able to mass produce those things. I think that they've personally been going adrift ever since Steve Jobs kicked the bucket, just my opinion. But look, what significant have they come out with since Steve Jobs kicked it? I mean, a finger scanner?
I don't know.
I mean, unless you're a real tech guy, and I can talk about details of the cameras and, upgrades in memory, and, faster processors and hundreds of new little updates to the operating system. And, I understand, folks. Don't call me and say, Sam, you don't know all that's been done. Oh, I do. But I want to know what's been game changer since Steve Jobs died that you could point to. Don't call me and tell me Siri, because Siri is a disaster. And she's so far behind all the other digital assistants, it's beyond imagination. Hey, Alexa, what do you think of Siri?
I like all AIs,
she says. What do you think of that, Kurt? I don't like the ones that don't understand me. I think they suck. What do you think, Kurt? Do you like the ones that don't understand you, or do you kind of get frustrated with them?
No, I don't really like those.
All right, but, you know, hey, Alexa likes all AIs. Is that true, Alexa? She doesn't know that. All right, see what I mean? Kurt, I don't like that when it's that, you know. We're talking about artificial intelligence, and I'm not finding that very intelligent. I ask her which, you know, what she thinks of her competition, and she says, I like them all. Then I say, well, you know, do you like them when they're not right? I don't know that. Okay. I don't like them when they're not correct. That bugs me. Anyway, bottom line is they say that these new devices are going to be interesting, but it's a big speculative bubble at this point, Kurt. We don't know what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. Got no idea. I'm personally not that excited about them. I don't think there's anything to offer. I think there's some neat things that's happening with some of the devices. But look, Apple has fallen way behind some of the competition. Some of the Android phones are much further ahead, Kurt. So
are you going to move to, you know, from the Apple one to, you know, the Android or whatever?
No, not really, because I don't even see a lot of the features that are the innovative that are that impressive to me. You know, there's more camera capabilities, there's more memory, there's faster processors, there's neat things that they do to make, you know, use in the field easier, and there's some things like that, but I don't really see anything that innovative in any of them. I mean, what's really changed the game in terms of cell phones in the last, you know, couple of years, Kurt? Do you know of anything?
You know, I don't really, I'm just grateful my screen is bigger so I can see it better, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You can make it really big if you get a Plus. Did you get a Plus, Kurt?
I think that's what I got.
They're calling it iPhone X. Everything we know about iPhone's new smartphone.
Uh-huh.
I submit they don't know much. Right?
There you go.
Everything is speculative.
Uh-huh. And right? Today all the answers will be given?
Well, that's what we hear.
Uh-huh. What was that, like 10 Eastern?
I guess they say Apple has suffered from one of the biggest leaks before the launch ever.
Really? So then everything isn't speculative.
So they call it, well, that depends on if you believe the leak, Kurt, or if the leak might be misleading you. Is it a real leak or a fake leak or an intentional leak or an accurate leak or a propaganda leak?
Good point.
Now, they call it up-and-coming iOS 11 software. They say release three new devices on Tuesday called the iPhone X 8, 8 Plus. Now, the SE, I guess, is going to be the X this time.
It's confusing.
Well, the bigger a company gets, Kurt, the more confusing the company becomes. They say it's going to have a new camera. It's going to have new screen technology. They're going to have details about a new Apple Watch and new wireless headphones. Are you impressed, Kurt?
Not necessarily, you know. I mean, when I compare it to the days of when I had the other you know, kind of operating systems, you know, the Microsoft stuff. You know, it just seemed like I was constantly having to shut it down and restart, you know, that kind of thing. So at least compared to that, you know, I rarely have to do it with the Mac stuff, the Apple stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so iPhone X, iPhone 8, and 8 Plus. But they say it's theoretically possible that Apple could change that marketing name. Especially for the iPhone X, especially if it's not really ready to go for the next month.
Uh-huh.
Now, they say 3D tracking might be done to unlock the phone. In other words, they might move to taking a picture of your face or whatever, Kurt, right? They say edge-to-edge screens might cover the whole phone. But see, other vendors have already got that, Kurt.
All right.
They're talking about no phone button. They're talking about putting the Touch ID directly in the screen. Facial recognition software to unlock the phone. They call it a touch bar function. It might be kind of like a touch bar instead of a touch button like the new MacBooks do. They say they're going to have peer-to-peer Apple Pay and a redesigned control center. Wireless charging already in use for the Apple Watch might come to the stage and be integrated into iPhones. Mm. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, you know, sounds like they're trying, and I think one of the biggest things is, you know, some people just always have to buy the newest thing, you know, and so I suppose they'll sell a bunch of them, Sam, as far as I can tell.
There might be a facial recognition camera to replace the fingerprint scanner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All I'm saying is I'm just not that impressed. I just don't see that big of a deal. It's just more invasive and violation of your privacy is all that I really see, Kurt.
There you go.
Now, I mean, are you super excited to move from your finger to your face for your recognition of that it's really you and they should let into your own device, Kurt?
Uh-uh.
All right. Well, I mean, are you interested in them getting rid of the button on your phone, Kurt?
Not really. I mean, in fact, I kind of miss the old days when I could just plug in my, like, earphone right into the phone.
Yeah, because you can't listen to your headphones and charge at the same time anymore, can you, Kurt?
No.
Is that an upgrade, Kurt?
It doesn't seem like it.
Depends on how you define upgrade, I guess, right?
Yeah.
My last upgrade was a downgrade kind of an idea. All right, there you have it. I don't mean to trash on the phone. We'll find out in mere hours what the details are, but I'm telling you right now, I don't see anything innovative. Steve Jobs is dead, and I'm afraid that unless they come out with something seriously novel, but doubling my price to get me new capabilities doesn't seem that impressive either. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, always at your fingertips. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate and get involved in the solutions today, would you please? We the people, along with the race of the Almighty, we can and will indeed restore America, but we've got to become a moral people again. We declare, this nation shall endure.